record will show members present. We'll be considering today SB 477, SB 479, HB 465, HJR 58, and HJR 70. I'd like to take up HB 465 and would ask Representative Hogan to. Or 645, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak to the one part of the bill, and I think I can answer the rest of it. What it does, last year when we adjourned, we appropriated $2 million to the Thomas Bay Power Authority for planning, design, and engineering on Tyee Lake. In midsummer, that board decided that they would turn the project over to Alaska Power Authority to manage and bring it to the point we are right now, getting it going. In addition to that, getting the FERC license. What this does is reappropriate money that's already been appropriated from the Thomas Bay Authority to the Alaska Power Authority. And the other two appropriations are of the same light. Now, I'm not going to speak for or against them. I just providing that for your information. The original bill was introduced by the governor at the request of the Alaska Power Authority, and the other two amendments were placed on the bill in the House Finance Committee. And I can answer any questions you like with the Section 4.
I think we've got some backup material in the files as far as Section 2. We haven't.
Yes, the governor covered that, I'm quite sure.
Yeah. On Section 1.
The original bill.
Any questions by committee members? The chair would then entertain that motion to move this.
Mr. Chairman, I move to move the bill out of committee with the unanimous due pass recommendation.
Any objection?
Thanks very much, Bob. I can run back to that meeting.
I guess he may have had a dental appointment today. I think Vern might have thought he was going to be here. Let's consider SB 477 then. Would you like to address this before we call the witnesses up, Senator Rodin?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, Senate Bill 477 establishes within the Department of Fish and Game some of the functions that they're now performing unofficially in terms of hunter safety programs, and further allows them the authority to establish various shooting programs, allows them to set up an advisory committee, and allows them to give grants. The bill is an important one as far as the state's shooters are concerned. In practicality, it merely codifies some of the existing practices and adds on to those the powers that the department should in all probability have if it's to properly exercise this function. I would rather have Ron Somerville and Mary Jablonski on testify on behalf of the department.
If I could ask the senator's indulgence, I see Representative Elderberg's here, and I know that he has a dental appointment this afternoon, and he was hoping to get his children lined up first, then maybe he wouldn't even have to show up at all in order to testify here. I don't want to give him that out to his family. So, if, with your indulgence, if we could.
I yield to Representative Elderberg.
If we could look at HJR 70 here for a moment. Vern, would you like to address that?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a bill for the resolution yet. Or really not a lot. Backup, I just run over. But what it does is, since 1952, I think it is, they've had these aircraft over 12,500 pounds have been highly regulated in that they, when they compute the landing distance, it's a bunch of arbitrary rules that they go by what they, at that time, put in because of safety reasons. Now, at that time, they didn't have what we call STOL aircraft. That's short takeoff and landing type aircraft. And since that time, we've developed a lot of state-of-the-art kind of aircraft that can land and take off very short distances. And they haven't changed the rules on this to accommodate those type of aircraft. Alaska has suffered extensively because of this, because we've had a lot of short airports that taken these aircraft were designed to operate on, yet the FAA won't allow it because of the way they compute the landing distance. And the way that is, when you take an airport, the way they compute this is they start with 50 feet up, aircraft comes down about 3 degrees, it comes over the hill and lands, leaves all of this unused runway behind him, and then they compute it from here on at 60% of the field that he has to land within. So in other words, you're leaving a whole bunch of unused runway behind you and in front of you, and they have to do this by the computations of the aircraft without reverse thrusting on their props and a whole bunch of things. And it's in other words, an aircraft that is capable of landing on about 1,200 feet is a landing that they use at least 3,000 feet or more. And the reason they done this back in those days was because they didn't have these STOL aircraft, and it was built in for safety, mostly passengers. These are for cargo carrying situations. And this resolution asked the FAA to rule favorably in exempting Alaska.
It's my understanding, Representative, that the governor has already wrote a letter to these.
Yes, the governor wrote a letter. I haven't read his letter, but it deals with the same subject.
Any questions from the committee members?
No question.
Thank you very kindly. Okay. You can get down there and get in line in front of your daughter, in front of your wife.
Thank you.
Chair would entertain a motion to move this bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we pass the bill out with unanimous consent recommendation.
Any objection?
No objection.
Thank you.
Thank you for your courtesy, but I knew he was going to leave his wife and children there and say, hey, I got to go to this committee meeting. Dave, did you want to, Dave Warwick, David, did you want to come forward and identify yourself for the record?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Dave Warwick. Background, I am self-employed as a gunsmith here in Juneau now, but I have been a police officer for probably the last 15 years in the Air Police, Air Force, and Wisconsin Highway Patrol, and State Troopers in Alaska, and Protection Division of Fish and Game Department here. So I'm very concerned about the, particularly the safety aspect of these two bills under safety program. I could talk for an hour or two on this subject. But we have a real problem, as I think most of you know, in Alaska as far as a place to shoot. And the symptoms of this problem are I think, evidently expressed in vandalism that you see shooting at road signs, and also indiscriminate shooting in congested areas. Now, this is, I think, due to a couple of main reasons. One, there aren't really sufficient places, safe places to shoot, and the other is related. And relates to Bill 477, that it's ignorance, lack of training. We don't have the facilities to train hunters. I've spent most of my time since I moved here from Wisconsin about 12, 14 years ago in southeast Alaska, and I've been active more or less in the hunter safety program in Haines and Petersburg and Juneau, and it's really difficult for those of us who want to volunteer our time and services for for instructing to find, one, classroom space, and two, safe range spaces to teach kids how to shoot. Most states, you probably know, already have, or a lot of states have requirements that for the first hunting license, a child has to have completed a hunter safety program. We don't have that here, but there's a good number of instructors ready and waiting to instruct if we just give them the time and place to do that. And another thing is, Alaska being such an outdoor-oriented country, I see brochures from the Forest Service and the Fish and Game Department about hikers, you know, carry a gun for bear protection, a .30-06 or better. And I, as a gunsmith, have been approached by people saying, where can I get instruction? Women and children and people that are unfamiliar with guns. And occasionally we have a hunter safety program, but the only real instruction that I know of other than that, intensive classroom instruction, is a couple of private schools outside. I believe one is in Arizona and one, I think, in Nevada, Ray Chapman and a Jeff Cooper, who charge $300 a week to teach people how to shoot. And we're willing to do it for nothing if we can have a place to do it. And the $9.6 million probably looks like a lot of money, but we're want to do what we can. Some places where they've waited for range construction until the problem is of urban congestion is so bad that it really complicates matters. I saw in the American Rifleman magazine, I guess it was about a year ago or so, case in point in Dade County, Florida, where in order to have a place to shoot private outfit and build the range, had to be a building within a building, soundproof, and the building itself cost $1 million. So we can do with a pretty reasonable figure. Excuse me for rambling on, but I'll answer any questions that I can.
Thank you. Dave, any questions of the committee member?
Just a few. Where do you maintain your shop, sir?
Out in the valley. I work out of my residence out in the airport area. Shop in the garage.
Okay. Did you participate in the drafting of this bill? Or, I mean, the bill come along and then you were told about it and that's why you became involved? Or have you been in on the action since the very beginning?
No, sir. I only became aware of the bill about a week or two ago. Ray Brown, who was on the committee, mentioned it to me, and that was the first I knew about it.
Okay, sir. I have no other questions, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Randolph C. Smith, and I'm representing the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. I'm down here from Anchorage, and our organization would like to give its wholehearted support to Senate Bill number 477. We feel that there's a definite need in the state to establish a hunter safety program. It's something that's been a long time coming, that a lot of the other states in the lower 48 have already established this, and Alaska definitely needs one. It's quite evident because of the amount of participation that we have through resident hunting license sales and this sort of thing, that there's a lot of people in the state that are interested in hunting, and we should do everything in our power to establish this type of program. I feel that a couple of suggestions might be made in reference to Senate Bill 477, that through this hunter safety program, that it also outlines a game management program to educate the people that are participating in the program a little closer as far as the importance of game management and this kind of thing. Also, hunter responsibility, which would fall also into safety, but also into the fact of vandalism and these kind of things, and what the proper things to do and not do are. And also, our organization would very much like to see the concept of fair chase taught in this program, which we wholeheartedly support and we feel is a very positive concept, and the young people should be exposed to it. Now, in reference to Senate Bill number 479, probably the biggest question in reference to this is the dollar amount of $9.6 million. I don't know what study has gone into this as far as the necessity of this kind of a dollar amount, but maybe what would be more feasible and what I would like to recommend is that we establish a budget on the outset of $250,000 as a study program, and establishing the advisory committee that is outlined in Senate Bill 477, lending to public hearings, accessible locations, and types of ranges that the public are really interested in and are needed. And I think that because of this input that we would have a more realistic figure as far as exactly what it would cost. I'm not objecting to the fact that it would cost $9.6 million or that it would cost $20 million. I think no matter what it costs, it's something that is needed. But I think that we ought to look at it a little more realistically and make sure that we are getting enough money into the program, or that we're not wasting the money that we're putting into the program. Any questions that we want to
ask? I have a question. I've got a fiscal note in my file dated yesterday, saying that there's no fiscal impact whatsoever in connection with Senate Bill 477.
I think that he was addressing
No, I was addressing
479.
479. I think, and I think maybe Senator Rohde could address it better than I, but I think there was a group formed after last session, and they're the ones that built up these figures, weren't they, Senator Rohde?
Yes, they were. The group spent 6 months developing the figure, and they are the recognized experts in Alaska on range construction. They were all private individuals who had held three meetings 2 days each, and they were from Ketchikan, Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Kenai, Kodiak, and Nome, and gave their time to put this together. Very dedicated people.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I've got Senate Bill 477 before me pertaining to shooting and firearm safety.
Right.
All right, and I also have in front of me a fiscal note captioned Senate Bill 477 indicating there's no cost. Now, if you read the bill, you've got a five-man advisory committee that's going to be traveling hither and yon at state expense. They're going to get per diem, they're going to get travel. All I'm maintaining is that there is a fiscal expense. implications. It's got to be. In addition to the appropriation bill, which is set forth in 479. And that's maybe these expenses in 477 are to be paid out of the $9.6 million, which seems like an ungodly high figure.
Seems like a lot of money. I think there is a note on the fiscal note on 479, the appropriation note, that the overhead. I think that just refers to 479, though, that the administrative costs would come out of the appropriation. It doesn't refer back to 477.
Mr. Chairman, this was discussed, and there is money that has been budgeted, hasn't been spent, for the advisory committee that could be used also, because the advisory committee would be assisting in advising on range construction. That money would come out of the construction money itself, and in the future, however, you would have to have budgeted monies for the committee, if you wish it. I think Senator Zuber made a suggestion that perhaps it is important that these people not be state employees, that they be private individuals.
Yeah, well, I questioned not necessarily Mr. Smith here, but to Senator Rohde, and a little aside. Why do you have to have five people? Why wouldn't three be adequate? And then on the other hand, is there any limitations to who the advisory committee members can be? Are they going to be plucked by the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game, some of three of his cronies or five of his cronies, and say, hey, we're all going there to wherever they're going to go, and you're on my committee now?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I also have an additional comment as far as the advisory committee. And our group would very definitely like to participate in some way in that advisory committee. And as a, have assigned to the committee a professional guide, and we'd also like to see on that committee a resident hunter. And I think that it's very important that this this advisory committee is a well-balanced committee, that it's and it gives all the aspects, whether it takes five people on this committee or it takes seven people, whatever it might be. I'm not quibbling about the number on the committee, but I think that the particular user groups as represented by the professional guides and also by the resident hunter should be definitely represented.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we ought to hear next from Ron Somerville, who from the Department of Fish and Game, and then keep probably has as much information on him.
Did you have any more to address?
There's no other questions.
I'd appreciate it if after the meeting you get together with Allison over there and some of your thoughts along the advisory.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Somerville?
It's come a long way from Craig, I'll tell you. It's good seeing you.
It's been 2 years, hasn't it, Senator?
Quite a while, indeed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ron Somerville. I'm the director of the Game Division of the Department of Fish and Game. Worked fairly closely with the drafters of this legislation last year, and as previously, the legislature has identified funding for hunter safety programs. We have conducted that, as well as has the Department of Public Safety for a few years conducted the hunter safety, so it's been around for quite a few years. Right now, our hunter safety program is limited to essentially two people providing services to small communities to provide certification for hunter safety purposes. It's fairly limited. We provide good firearms, send it to the people, provide minimum facilities for option shooting. We work with the education people to try to give minimum instructions to small communities, things like this, what's possible. That sort of thing exists right now. We've also worked with the Shooting Range Committee, which was established by the legislature this last year. 10 people that were appointed, and I think selected from a group of a wide variety that were mentioned, and the people did devote considerable more time than just the 6 days they met. I think the senator would attest on their own putting together the information, so there was considerable time spent there, as well as contacting people in the communities for their recommendations. So there was quite a wide bit of input. The the committee we worked is on a fiscal situation fairly conservatively. As of to date, I think they spent about $3,500 of that total $15,000 that was allocated by the legislature, some that will lapse. And I think why there's no fiscal notice associated with 477, we can appoint the committee, they can operate by just the normal communication system and not meet at all if there's no appropriations for direction for them to participate in range construction. They can work on an advisory basis, at a minimum. But within our existing hunter safety program, some money could possibly be devoted towards shifting funds for them to meet. You know, I guess that's why we could absorb something there if that's the intent of the legislature. I think 477 does one thing, regardless whether you pass 479, and that it gives a statutory authority in areas that we felt were kind of questionable, is whether the department, what it should legally be doing or what could be doing in the area of hunter safety and range constructions and working with local groups to further better hunter safety conditions. And so I think that is, would argue strongly for the administration to support 477's passage.
Thank you. I noticed that we have from you some proposed amendments. I think it's in everybody's file that regard to the language in section one of Bill, you want to
yes,
touch on those?
We offered two improving substitutes. The purpose for section 1655.010, paragraphs 1 and 3, essentially to, in both cases, to indicate that the department would assist in these activities rather than appearing as in the legislation to be totally responsible for it. And without funding, it would put us in kind of a funny position because we couldn't conduct a lot of that. We could assist depending upon the level of funding the legislature gave us. And there are a lot of organizations and activities going on in the state promoting hunter safety that are not associated with the department. And I don't think we should be expected to coordinate all of those. I think it's the unnecessary regulation by the department.
Yeah,
I could read those if you like, Mr. Chairman. Or I assume they're both in front of you.
I think that everybody has them in their file there. Any comment there?
Mr. Chairman, I think they're good amendments, and I'm trying to assist the department in carrying out what I think are the wishes of a lot of people in Alaska, and this to me is a very important area, and I agree with the department. This language is probably more suited to the needs of the state, and if at the time we consider the bill, I would be proposed to offer this as an amendment to the bill.
Any other questions?
No questions, Mr. Chairman. I'm 100% both of these bills. And then we resolve the funding for the 477 yet. Did I misunderstand?
There is existing monies for the shooting range committee for probably for the next year or so. The monies, to the extent that they assist with the range construction, which will be one of their, if not their primary concern over the next couple of years, can come from that money as well.
That traveling per diem can come from
that. Yes, they've been a very frugal committee, as I said, spending only $3,500 and producing a considerable amount of work.
I feel that, Mr. Chairman, that we dire need of the passage of both of these bills. We need a program like this. Maybe they wouldn't shoot up as many highway signs, get the plinking around, and maybe have a wild shot go where it shouldn't be going.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to Senator Ziegler's comment about the 1, 3, or 5, and I'm sure if New Year's has been around and establishing boards and committees, that it's nobody's ever completely satisfied with the numbers game because it's always constantly shifting. But I think a recommendation for 5 or something of that nature is desirable, only that so you don't get in totally the large communities represented in a shooting range committee, which might be the tendency with 3, for instance, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and I think we need to have some of the smaller communities represented on this type of committee if possible. It's just a comment.
Fine, Ron. I was just wondering why we had to have 5.
Any other comment? Any other questions? Thank you, Ron. We have a Mr. Dixon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ted Dixon. I guess I come here today wearing a number of hats, representing the Tanau Valley Sportsmen's Association in Fairbanks, the Alaska State Rifle and Pistol Association, which is a statewide organization, the NRA, established statewide organization, and also the Alaska Sportsman's Council, which I'm sure you're familiar with. In addition, I should add that I was a member of the range planning committee, which you've been discussing here for the last 6 months, and I put considerable effort into the product that we have here now. Senator Rohde and I have been talking about this for at least a year, and I'm glad to see that we're finally on the road, hopefully. I'd be glad to answer any questions when we get to that about the work of the planning committee. I think that you know, I would point out a couple of things. Alaska, as I'm sure you're all aware, is probably got the, well, probably does have the highest per capita number of shooters in any state in the country, and the highest per capita NRA members. And, you know, there's firearms and hunting in almost every household in the state. And yet, we've done virtually nothing in providing an easy place to shoot. And I think Anchorage is a prime example of what can happen in other areas of the state. Anchorage Bowl is getting congested with people. There's very little opportunity there anymore to have a place to shoot people for firearms training, safety. And we need to establish something now so that we don't wind up with a situation where you know, we've got a state that's a large percentage of people hunt and like to shoot and have no place to do it. The committee, the range planning committee, put in considerable effort. I know I certainly did, in addition to the meetings that we held, and gave a lot of thought to what we needed on a statewide basis. We didn't look just at the large metropolitan areas. We tried to look at the smaller towns, the outlying areas, the bush villages, And we had people on that committee from all these areas, so I think we got a very good representation. And as Senator Rohde mentioned, we're very conservative in the money that we spent getting together. And I think that same attitude carried over into the coming up with a $9.6 million figure. I think that is a very conservative figure. If we look at the proposals for facilities that are needed on a statewide basis, I think that's a very minimal figure that we need to begin to get some range facilities constructed. Naturally, you're going to see a bigger construction project in the large metropolitan areas than you are in the small villages. But we tried to look at something that was reasonable, cost-effective, and not too elaborate, but basically what we felt we needed in all of these areas. And I would heartily support those bills. I'm glad to answer any questions.
Question crossed my mind. What is, do we have any statistics on the accident ratio today in Alaska versus other areas? Is it a problem now?
We've been very fortunate in Alaska. The accident ratio is very low. I think it's going to, the efforts that have been put in through Fish and Game and many private individuals in hunter safety training on a very limited basis have been effective. But I think that, especially in the metropolitan areas, as they get more congested, unless we have a designated, an established shooting facility, I think that we might have problems.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond, the reason our rate is low is because of the great deal of space we have here. If this were Pennsylvania or upstate New York, I suspect there would be a lot much higher rate. But the small number of people, the large number of acres of land does prevent them from accidents.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, at the risk of alienating two of my senatorial colleagues, I have philosophical problems with the concept behind this bill. What in the name of God are we going to spend $10 million worth of taxpayers' money to teach people how to shoot and to acquire ranges? Why can't the individuals concerned go out and do this? What's the matter with taking $10 million to teach people how to drive snowmobiles or for fly fishing schools, which I dearly love to do? Isn't anybody else bothered? We're going to teach people how to fire guns. Can't their parents or their friends teach them? We have a shooting range. I've gone out there and shot skeet in Ketchikan. They get along just fine. I don't know who owns the land, but I do have a problem. But maybe you can straighten me out.
Let me
go ahead. Senator Rohde?
Let me respond if I could. First of all, we're talking about two separate bills. We haven't even gotten to 479 yet. But with regard to the appropriations, you brought that question up. In many areas of Alaska, we provide tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars for public facilities, and these would be public facilities. And they're not unlike the facilities we provide for a sport, and shooting is a sport. In fact, I'm interested in seeing how our Olympic team will do if and when there is an Olympic shoot in both skeet and trap. Very highly contested international area. And I see nothing inconsistent philosophically with the state helping for reasons of safety and for reasons of sport. The fact that this is something that the people of Alaska do, and it takes a public place to do it unless you're going to have some relatively significant problems. And I think that probably Ted Dixon can respond even further. I see him chomping at the bit.
Well, you understand, I'm not fussing with you. I'm just wondering where all of a sudden I walk in here. I've looked at these bills before I get here, and here we're going to spend all this money. It seems to me that individuals who care about shooting, and incidentally, I've got more than 4 years in the Army. I taught weapons for two of those four, so I know all about it. And if in Ketchikan, for example, which is my hometown, sir, they have their ski club and they have a rifle range. I've never seen the rifle range. Never want to see one again as long as I live, for that matter. But if they can do it there, why can't the Anchorage people do it in their community?
If I may, sir. Ketchikan is more fortunate than with existing facilities right now in many areas of the state.
Okay.
The problem in the Anchorage Bowl, quite frankly, is there is virtually no place to shoot. There's no place to put a range. You're talking about a fairly large piece of ground for safety's sake to have an established rifle range. There are two ranges in the Anchorage Bowl now, and there's virtually no place else to put one. And they're both very limited.
Mr. Chairman, and to the chair, to Senator Ziegler. Our Rabbit Creek area is not much, and all the residents in the area complain about it, the noise and so on. The only other one, if you're a member of the Isaac Walton League, is out in the Birchwood area, in the Eagle River, Chugach. And so people just go out and shoot, you know, wherever they find a place to shoot, and on private property and state property, and not at regular ranges, and they're not supervised. And for instance, every military individual that hunts on a military reservation has to take a hunter safety program course, and they have no shooting problems because they have to pass that test before they can shoot or hunt on any military land, which might be some indication as to how valid this is. I know many other states have such. I think it's Pennsylvania, when I was up there teaching ROTC, they have such a program. And my knowledge of this, and I haven't done the study that Senator Rody has done, and Ted, and many others, but it really pays off. So I think, here's an example too. I had a kid that's a constituent of mine in the general neighborhood that wanted to go out and shoot a rifle. He doesn't have a father. Family's divorce, and so I didn't have the time, but I took off a little time and took him out to Fort Richardson, the Central Range, and taught him to shoot. Well, he already had the rifle. He already told me that he'd gone out and shot a little on his own, you know, but he wanted some formal professional training, supposedly. And I suppose there's a lot of that. So if we have a program whereby we can have some real professional, official-type training for people that want to shoot, probably they won't go out and just shoot anywhere. Shoot up signs as well. I know it's about $10 million, but maybe we're spending money. I think this is hunting and fishing preserve of the United States. We need to spend a little money. Another thing too, Fairbanks has a very good range. It's not near as large as Anchorage, and we don't in Anchorage. And I'm hoping a fair amount of this money will go to Anchorage to teach them to shoot properly, and maybe some of it will be used in assisting the planning of some decent ranges around there, and we get another appropriation. We had one last year. Did that thing ever go through the House, Pat?
For
appropriation
shooting.
For a shooting range?
Yes, well, it was actually the range, yes, for Rabbit Creek, and
yeah,
they're
well,
in the process of negotiations on that now.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, if
so
I could.
So that's the other half of this.
Yeah. I think this is a valid public purpose. Every other state has seen it as a valid public purpose. The English Crown has seen it as a valid public purpose for over 300 years. And in most Western countries, it's viewed as a valid public purpose. And I submit that if you put this to the people of Alaska, you would get a resounding yes vote. The bill we have before us, though, is one that would allow the department to do what it you know what it has been doing and what I think has the support of the people of Alaska. And I would certainly be willing to work to draft a committee substitute to incorporate the language that Mr. Somerville presented this, and also the suggestion that Senator Ziegler made, if it would meet with the approval of the chairman.
Any other questions of Ted? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll get with you with your staff on that just as soon as possible.
I also have a suggestion, Pat. The fact that only a minority of the members could call a meeting, what's the purpose behind that? If somebody in breakup wants to leave home, so they call a meeting. I don't understand why. I've never heard of a situation where a minority of the membership could call a meeting.
Quite frankly, I don't know specifically.
It seems to me that it would be adequate that they could meet to call the chair.
I have no strong feelings about that one way or the other, because you're dealing with basically a citizen committee, people who work and have jobs and businesses for a living. it. I have no. I'll be happy to discuss some language with you and present some acceptable language to the committee if there's a problem with that. I don't know that it makes any difference. And I, just through the chair to Mr. Somerville, Ron, do you have any preference with regard to language on the advisory committee? It says that the committee shall meet at the call of the chairman or at the request of two of its members. That's a minority. Obviously, three would be a majority. Do you have any feeling one way or the other?
No, I read that. Committee would have an objection, you can make it consistent with others. It would be approval of the chairman or a majority of the committee would probably be more consistent with
that. I think what we'll do is hold this over and do a little bit more work on it. We'll be working with Senator Rohde on it, and we'll look at it and later next week for another time. I think we've got HJR 58.
Mr.
Special interest. We have a committee substitute in there. Checked with the sponsor of the bill, Representative Zaroff, and all the committee substitute does is identify on a congressional level how they refer to the bill by inserting the SD-96-6 Kodiak Harbor is the way it's referred to back there and with the Corps of Engineers.
Do you really recommend this resolution to this committee, Senator?
I would recommend this resolution to this committee.
I mean, is the 8 million really necessary?
Does it fulfill a valid public purpose?
That it does, Senator Rohde. I would entertain a motion that we consider the committee substitute and a motion to move.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the committee substitute for HJR 58 and move it from committee with unanimous due pass.
Any objection?
No.
Thank you. State Affairs adjourned.